Welcome to the Note to Scene podcast. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And every week we chronicle the biggest news stories in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate and review us. Email us at notetoscene@gmail.com. Big news this week from Beartooth. But first, we're going to talk about the story so far. The only band who could save pop punk. Let's go. Walters is fighting with the Pirates of the Caribbean, or the hell's going on here, man?
Oh, Johnny Depcore versus Alisana Part 2.
You know, this is so stupid because, you know, Patty made his little statement about mental health and this Pele, am I saying that right, Pele Royale?
That's how I say it.
Okay, and why? What a random spot to call someone out. This Sebastian, this guitarist.
Of course, his name's Sebastian.
Yeah, right. Your name's Sebastian, but
it was a moment, man. It was just the most bizarre moment where it broke on Warped Tour's the 20th day of a 20 straight day run on Warped Tour. So everyone's just fucking exhausted, right?
My thing is, worn out. What a weird thing to go after someone for. So Patty puts out a statement, says something on stage about his anxiety and the mental health he's having. And Sebastian, you know, wearing his puffy shirt and his, you know, feathered hair and his, you know, I wish I was in Panic at the Disco and Black Sabbath and at the same time and make really garbage music, he like calls him out for it for some reason. He's like, this is singers can't be talking about mental health.
Nope.
And my thing is like, okay, so I don't like Patty. I mean, I not as a person, but I don't like what he's up to lately with the whole, you know, we're gonna like, I feel like
same.
He's kind of exploiting same. Mental health to a certain degree here for his music. And ooh, look at us, we're so emo like back in the day. But you know, like, this is a real problem for a lot of musicians and musicians I know, like mental health and anxiety. These are real, like, yes, you know, Sebastian's point was that you get to go up on stage and sing your songs to your fans. And there are a million people who get killed to be in your position.
Don't complain, basically, is what he's saying.
And my thing is, like, that is true for musicians from the level of Ollie Sykes, who became a drug addict because of it, to small musicians like Patty. It's just the touring life. You know what I mean? We hear so much about that. You know, I'm sure you have too. Of you turn to self-medication.
Right.
You know,
your
the anxiety.
Vices. Yeah.
The stress of it. You don't see your family. You don't see your kids. You're on a bus. You know, you hate the people you're around. You know, even
it's
though
very,
they're your band.
Right. It's a dehumanizing experience being out on tour.
Yeah, and the same thing every night. You're eating unhealthy. It's just like, it's a real, what Patty's pointing out is actually a real problem. So it's just so fucking dumb for, you know, puffy guy, tough shirt to go after him. Like, you know, this is, no, bro. Like, I was tough. Like, I had anxiety too, and I just, like, figured it out. It's also really weird that, as it is in Pele Royale, that was the biggest story of the week. Like, how the hell did that happen?
Oh my god, man. This is when you know it's time.
It's time?
It's time to end it, man.
Are we on the table, like, ready to call the time of death? Like,
dude, it is time.
We got the
this
defibrillator
too
out, though. We're not letting it go yet, right?
Like, I mean, we're trying. We're trying clear, to give it some clear, shots, man.
Like Pele sets that clear.
Right? We're trying to shut him up and move on, but oh my
Our
god, bands, dude.
You know, Pele haven't sold any records over here. That last As It Is record
didn't sell well
at
first
all.
Week.
You know, the new one's not gonna.
Oh, man. So, yeah. My thing with Patty is that, like, literally,
you want to punch him in the face.
I mean, oh, absolutely. Like, who doesn't want to punch that guy in the face? But in 2016, he was selling shirts, like, kind of exploiting depression, basically. There was a lot of controversy over he would use, like, the hashtag, like, get sad or stay sad or whatever like this,
sad,
right?
Bro.
So it's the full, he did a full 180 and went 100% in the other direction now, and he's exploiting it the other way.
Right. He's totally wearing He's wearing mental illness like a fashion statement now.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? He's like, oh, all of a sudden, the band like flipped a quarter, and then the next day they were My Chemical Romance. You know, even, oh my God, we're so dreary and depressed. And it's like, huh? Like, I mean, I met this guy, and that was not his vibe, you know? Dial Tones, I mean, that was a couple years ago, but, you know,
dude,
that was the vibe of that band. We're goofy, we're funny, we're having fun, we're happy to be making pop punk. It's been a long time since Dial Tones, but I don't know, man. Maybe he should have called it quits. Maybe he should have just called it quits after that Frozen YouTube cover he did. Like, maybe that was that peak Patty Walters.
I feel like he might have had cover a more brighter future if he just would have stayed a YouTuber, right?
I don't know, man. How are the YouTube guys all doing?
I mean, Jared Dines is doing pretty well, man.
Yeah. How about Jared Alonji? Is he still
He faded a bit. He certainly faded a bit because he's got a band with Patty now called Crazy 88, which is all right.
You know, yeah. I was listening to that Triggered Jared Alonji song.
No.
That is so funny.
He went there, man. He went there. Like, you gotta give him something for going there.
That's the thing, is like you said, I thought he had faded, you know, and I saw that and I was like, oh wow, he went there.
Oh,
that's
he went funny there, man, right? Yeah. All out. So yeah, it's time, man. It's time to end it. This is ridiculous. We can't even stop while we're ahead at this point, so we just gotta stop.
It's just, you know, the fans fighting. I just hate how much the scene has become so just vitriol, and it's becoming sort of like a cesspool of just fighting. And
on such a low level. It was different when we had, like, the A-lister drama, right? It was much different when we had Kellen versus Ollie.
Kellen and Ollie Sykes fighting. That was different. That was good for the business.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that was, like, good
this
for
just
the culture.
Looks bad, man. Like,
it's just embarrassing.
Right? And yeah, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. We got, you know, the fake MCR fighting
Johnny
the Pirates
Depp
of the Caribbean. It's like, it looks ridiculous, and I don't know, do, like, you want to be associated with this kind of scene?
Absolutely not, dude. Oh, like, get me away from here.
Happened.
Not the vibe. I mean, we know what happened, man. We're like fucking 70 episodes into this show. That's what happened. You want to know what happened? Take a dive.
And later news, Tyler. You went to Warped Tour, didn't you?
I did last weekend. New York date.
Last Warped Tour ever.
It was emotional, man. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I was very thankful to be able to go and not have to work. There wasn't anything that I had to do throughout the day. I didn't have to go interview a band or go see a certain band. It was literally just wide open schedule. And there wasn't anyone that I was dying to see. Like, there wasn't a must-see band for me. So I literally just bounced around all day. And it was like the most relaxing way to soak it all in one last time. I mean, it was long as fuck, dude. Like, that day was I was so wiped out the next day. It was crazy. I was like, dang, I am not a teenager anymore.
Yep.
Oh man, the post warp tour.
I used to be like gotta get at the front barricade.
Yeah, you were a barricade warrior.
I know you caught me that one time, but it was like, I gotta push my way, you know, get to the barricade five bands early and Mac, hold out there until your favorite band comes
out. Get the fuck
out
of my way. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I'd sit through all those bands that I didn't care about. Dude, just, you know.
One of your best tweets ever, and I've said it on the show before, was that you've seen less than Jake more than any other person waiting for your favorite emo bands.
I know the lyrics, I know everything, and I do not like that band. I just, you know.
Oh, man.
The consequence. But yeah, I used to be so intense. And as I've gotten older, you know, into adulthood, it's like, I'm like, I can kind of chill towards the back, you know?
Right, yeah.
I'm like, same. I'd rather, like, actually sit back and enjoy the show,
for
you
sure
know?
For sure. Because
you get so close, you can't really hear the music correctly when you're that
I
close.
Know, dude, it, I know.
This is, you don't hear, you know, the vocals are way washed out by the guitars and everything.
Yeah, it sounds really distorted.
When you're back, your eardrums aren't getting
it's
blown
the
out.
Full experience.
And,
yeah,
you get the full, so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely what I did for most of the sets that I saw. The only one that I ended up making a note to see by the afternoon was Falling in Reverse. I was
gotta
there for there.
I could not see Ronnie.
I couldn't not see Ronnie. And I gotta say, man, like, we can all say what we will. Dude's done some, you know, shitty things, whatever. he survived, man. He survived through it all. I heard, I talked to some friends on the tour, talked to some people. They're, since they joined, they've been outpacing every other band in merchandise day to day. Biggest band on the tour in terms of, you know, what they're bringing in and the crowds that they're bringing in. Aside from nostalgia acts, it was the biggest crowd that I saw all day on the main stage. And they played mostly new songs. They played songs from every record. Mm-hmm. But they played the two new Lucys that they dropped. And everyone knew all the words.
Yeah, because it was, those are big hits for them, man.
It
those
was crazy.
YouTube videos are doing really well.
And I love Ronnie. Ronnie made a note to point out how many streams each song has on YouTube before he played them, dude.
He's been doing that since losing my mind dropped.
Yep.
It's like every other million he gets, he tweets about it. But
Before he played them,
good for them, man. Like, because they could easily be dropping videos right now that like barely break a million.
Exactly. You know?
Like they could easily be entering that point of their career, but somehow Ronnie does it though.
He's managed to stay in the conversation, and he's got hooks, man. He's got fucking hooks.
He got addicted to drugs. He went to jail, you know, for a long time. Like he should have been forgotten about.
Right.
But this guy just has a way of clawing back. He has a way of coming back. You can't. He's like a cockroach, you know. You can't kill him.
And
you can't get rid of him.
And what a performer, man. Like, he was as vibrant last Saturday as I've ever seen him on stage. Just all over the place. And he seemed, like, genuinely thankful. Like, he recognizes that he maybe shouldn't be here, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the vibe that I got from Fallen. But I saw the main. I saw the full set from the main. I really want to understand the 8123 crowd. I get it.
But you don't.
I get it. But I don't. There's a lot that I don't like. I get it. But there's a lot that I'm just like, this is not for me. Like, shout out to all you John O'Callaghan fans out there. I want to delete his Twitter. It annoys the shit out of me.
The closest I ever got with that was The Dangerous Summer. Like, I mean, that was that band forever that I was like, I just don't get it. And and all those, you know, 8123 kids love that band. They're kind of like a sister to 8123, and I ended up liking the new record, and I was like, okay, I get what this is about, and it kind of made me understand what 8123, that whole little collective, is all about, and I'm like, okay, you guys have fun with that.
Yeah, right, like, right. That's where I'm at.
I'm happy for them. Right. It's a weird.
They get to survive. A part of the scene gets to survive in its own bubble.
Yeah, exactly. Like the happy, hippie, neon, whatever, you know, they just get to live in a permanent summer of love, sort of.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
And they have their little festival, and maybe they don't want to be associated with Sebastian fighting with Patty Walters. You know what I mean? Maybe I wouldn't want to either, man.
They
packed up ship and they've moved over to Arizona or wherever the hell this goes on, you know, and they're out. And they're doing their own thing, and I think that's cool. Like,
absolutely.
The main found a cool model. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, so those were the two main full sets that I watched. I caught some of Kublai Khan. I caught some of Twisted. I caught some of Unearth. I missed Senses Fail.
Doing that OG Tyler Sharp bullshit right there.
You know.
Back on your old school PS.
Support metalcore, man.
2018. Is that your bumper
sticker? Support metalcore, man. We gotta be out here. We
Can
gotta
make
be
that
out here.
Twitter banner picture.
Support Absolutely. Support metalcore.
Support metalcore, yo.
We're gonna make a coffee mug. Note to scene, and on the back, support metalcore.
You know, it's funny because how much we've probably done to tear down metalcore.
To tear down metalcore.
We've been like, this sucks.
Fuck this band.
Has there been any, like, good metalcore since we've been doing Note to Scene?
While She Sleeps.
That one song.
Dude, that record's great. The record's great. I highly recommend it.
It's okay.
You know, I'm still kind of waiting on that new Bring Me record, which won't be metalcore, but to me, they'll always be a metalcore band.
That record happened.
What?
I said if that record ever
Oh, shut your mouth, man. There's too much money to be made there.
I don't know what's going on.
Is there another scene band you could say that about now? There's too much money to be made to not
do
anything.
Let's go, though. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, let's move. We're building up the hype. We know, like, they're working on it, man. They're working on it.
Ollie's still gallivanting around the world with his 19-year-old girlfriend.
All right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. That's all I've known he's been up to.
Listen, they went to Area 51 together. I mean,
It's cute.
I don't know if that's the right word for it.
Well, you know, he broke up with that one girl. What was
his wife?
What was her name? Oh God,
dang,
she's cute.
Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue. But yeah, it was a whole thing, right? And then he's like, "Well, I know
her name's
the new
like something
be,
sparkles or like something right, magic. Right? I don't know. She has something in her name like that.
Oh, I think it starts with something starts with a P. Pixie, right?
Hannah Pixie.
That's
sparkles.
It.
That's good, right? My scene memory is kicking in. I was close.
We're there, man. We're still there. We still got it.
Listen, note to scene listeners. Tyler and Matt still got it in 2018. But yeah, he broke up with Hannah Pixie, his wife, because he said she cheated on him, and she said he cheated on her. I totally believe her.
Right? Like, absolutely.
And now he found himself like a new, younger version of Hannah Pixie. They look so similar. It's so weird.
She was a model for his clothing company.
She looks just like a younger version of Hannah with less tattoos.
Yeah. They really like to wear Cradle of Filth t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, he just opened a barcade. That's a thing.
That's so cool. I'm so totally going to that.
I'm totally going to that.
I don't know. Is that cool in England? British listeners, don't get mad at me. Let us know. Right? Noticing@gmail.com if you go to barcades.
Right? Yeah, hit us up.
If you've been to the Ollie Sykes Barcade, I would like to know about it, and I would like to know your experience.
Absolutely. So Warped Tour was emotional. I just kind of chilled all day, watched my final Warped Tour sunset in a parking lot, you know? Those parking lots have made me feel more at home than anywhere else. Just fucking random, scattered out. There's something really...
That sunset is both relieving and heart-piercing.
Yeah, dude. Because
I've seen so many of them, and it's like, you're so winded, you're fucking gassed, right?
I didn't even do any... I just walked around all day, and I was tired, man.
I think back to my teenage years.
Right.
Like, and you're sunburned, your voice is gone. Right? Especially if you're a fan of heavy music, you've been screaming
all
like,
day long.
You've just been shredding your throat. So you have no voice, your skin's burning, you're probably covered in sweat, but you're at that point where you're like drying off finally, and you're just like, you see that sunset, you know, and it's like, all right, it's over. It's always going to be here. I'll see it next year, right? Yeah.
I tried to soak it in. I tried to soak it in a little bit more this year. And then I closed out my Warped Tour career with with 303 and Simple Plan. Dude, biggest crowds of the day it wasn't even close. There was over 1,000 people watching both those bands.
Really? They had bigger crowds than Falling in Reverse?
Yeah. I mean, there was nobody else playing. Everyone that was left at the show was watching those two bands. I mean, you know, like you got the sound booth and then you got trailers in the back. There were people dancing behind the trailers.
They were the last two bands of the night?
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of everybody converges at that spot, you know, so that might have attributed a little.
It totally did, because there was no reason for that. I was looking around me and I'm like,
maybe, but Simple Plan,
what are
really...
all you people doing? Like, where did you come from? But it was pretty crazy to see everyone just screaming. Just like, imagine over 1,000 people screaming along to every 303 song. That was a sight. And I'm just like, I was with my friend Caitlin. Her and I used to write at Alternative Press. And we were watching as everyone screamed along to the words of Don't Trust Me. And I was like, if any of you heard this song as a new song in 2018, it would be blacklisted from everywhere.
Yeah.
But because it came out in 2007, it's okay.
I mean, that was on Top 40 Radio.
No, it was a smash.
Don't Trust
a
Hoe.
Dude, the
bridge. I mean, it might have been a top five.
The bridge. I don't even want to say the bridge, man. Like, it's that bad.
Are you talking about the Helen Keller?
Yeah. Like, that's not okay, man.
Look, man, I don't know. We used to be allowed to have a little more fun than, I guess.
I mean,
it was a different world. It was like 2007 is like the fucking 1600s compared to today. You know what I mean? Like,
you think ancient back to times, 07, man. Just a wild ancient mess, times, right?
And you like to think of the 2000s as like progressive, you know, future looking time, but I guess we were living in the dark ages and just didn't realize it, because now it's like, wow,
we're pretty fucked up kids, man.
2018, there's just something kind of scary about it,
like, something kind of scary.
I mean, I understand that song, I get what's wrong with it, but the fact that if it came out today,
but you know, right,
lit on fire, is that totally, you know what I mean, can't we just, can, is it okay for there to just be, you know, no, jam with some bad
can
words
we,
in it?
Can we have it?
But you know what I mean, like, if it came out today, like,
can we have, you know, oh man, I don't know, I don't think we could, you know,
I know we couldn't, but I'm saying, would it be, is it that big of a deal? I mean real, like, hypothetical on today's episode,
dude.
Like, what if,
listen, future, if that Charlie XCX song gets canceled, there is no way in hell,
my God. Don't even,
no way in hell,
XCX song,
that this song would survive in any other year than 2007.
Wait, was it the Charlie XCX song, or was it a Rita Ora song with Charlie?
That's right. Yep, it was Rita Ora, Charlie,
Rita, Charlie, BB Rexha, like all the girls, mm-hmm. right? Like,
it was supposed to be, that was Song of the Summer, right?
That
there.
Was like the collab, yeah, but mm-hmm. You know, because they didn't, let's not get into this, Tyler.
Can't go there.
I don't want to get us in trouble. And,
I know. All right, I know.
This is a good time to move on to listener questions.
Good time. So, yep.
We got a lot of 21 Pilots feedback from our last episode. And
shouts to the click. Thank you.
Yeah, shouts to all you guys. You know, there's so goddamn much of it that it would take up the rest of the episode to read this. I just want to say, like, you know, we read everything you sent. We love all your little theories, you know, about the Bishops and about Nico and about the video. And I'm stoked that you guys are along this journey, you know, with us. And
absolutely. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, seriously. One little email. Lauren R. wrote in. She just said, you guys crushed it with that podcast, as always. Thank you for keeping the scene alive. I really appreciated
Hell
that,
yeah.
Lauren. Thanks.
So
for that.
Cool.
Yeah, but other than that, we got a lot of 21 Pilots feedback. I just want to take the time to acknowledge it. And it's really cool to see everyone so engaged and writing in about that and so invested in that storyline.
There's still something out there, man. There's still something emo out there. That makes me happy.
Yeah. So other than that, a couple episodes ago, do you remember I put out a call? I asked listeners to explain to us why State Champ Secrets was a good song. Because you and I, this is the mystery of Tyler and I's like
just
life.
Don't get
this,
it.
So we got a lot of feedback about that, too. I'm just going to go through a couple. Okay, so listener Megan, this is great. So she writes in, hi, guys. My question is, I don't get how you don't understand why Secrets by State Champs is a great song. The chorus goes hard and is so easy to shout, and it is so much fun, too. Thanks, Megan. So, Megan, I guess we just, we fundamentally disagree on your entire... I think I can speak for Tyler Sharp and myself by saying we fundamentally just disagree with you here.
Yeah, and that's okay. Like, you guys can have that song, but I don't get it.
I just
it.
Love how she doesn't explain it. She comes back with, wait, how dare you not, like... You know,
right? Like, this is the most blatant thing. How do you not understand this?
Hey, Tyler and I might just be out of touch, you know?
Same, yeah.
People that song. Okay, thanks, Megan. Listener Jay wrote in. He says, hey dudes, big fan of the show. I listen to it every week. I think I know why people like Secrets by State Champs so much. Have you ever noticed how it's pretty much almost a pop punk cover of Taylor Swift's Blank Space? The verses are very similar rhythmically and melodically, and the chorus is definitely influenced by it, just not as blatantly. The lyrics Blank Space are even in the verse. I didn't notice that, Tyler. I also have a fan question for you guys. What do you think the future holds for Paris? Whoa, all right, we're going here.
Oh, no.
They definitely got knocked by the sophomore slump, but they seem to already be working on new music, and their ticket numbers seem to be doing pretty well from an outsider's point of view. Do you think they can achieve White Noise levels of hype ever again, or do you think they'll just coast off of their core fan base and Coachella casual hipster fans? Okay, so a couple things to address there.
That took a hard left turn, man.
Yeah, I know. Whoa, where are we going? Okay, so State Champs, Secrets. Do you think it sounds anything like Blank Space, Tyler?
I mean, so after I read this listener question, I went back and I listened to it. And, I mean, if you're really listening, I can kind of see where he's coming from. But, yeah. I mean, if no one would have ever pointed that out to me, I probably would have never heard it. What about you?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jay, I'm not with you on this one. Blank Space is just an incredible song. You know, when you think about it.
And what this is it not. Achieve?
Yeah, no, I don't know, like, Blank Space, that's a number one hit single. You know what I mean? That's
for sure.
A lot of people would argue that's one of Taylor's best songs. And it's a great song. And I just don't get that from Secrets. I don't the chorus doesn't hit at all for me in Secrets. Totally misses. I mean, I get the lyrics for Blank Space being in there. I mean, that's pretty neat. But other than that, I'm not. I remain unconvinced.
Yeah, listeners. I'm not sure. I don't understand why this is the champion State Champ song. I mean, we can't talk about State Champs and I not bring up Elevated, but that...
Yeah, you gotta do it every time, man.
That is the hit. Like, why are we going back to Secrets when we have Secrets Elevated?
Secrets is the hit, though.
Elevated, I mean, is the hit, man.
Elevated is the better song, but Secrets is that's
right,
the hit.
Right. No, totally, numbers wise. But all I'm saying is we State Champs fans, y'all backed the wrong song.
I mean, when they say, yo, this next song is called Secrets at Warped Tour, people are like, what? You know what I mean? It's like, why? And that's our fundamental question here. Why?
Yeah, I feel like that chorus is compared to Elevated, yeah, that's a 6 out of 10. Elevated's like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I think 6 out of 10 is pretty kind. It's almost kind. I mean, oh, you know, that 5.5.
Dude, it's coherent.
Range, right?
It's coherent, man. You got to give
coherent.
It that.
It's a coherent song, but it doesn't move me in any
it's
way.
It's very middle of the road. It's very middle of the road.
So, you know, thanks, Jay, for writing in, but I totally disagree with you, my man. I don't think this sounds like Blank Space at all. Steering to your I like the little Paris question you sneak
right?
in there.
Hell yeah. Someone's
Let's
thinking about
to,
them.
Yeah. The future for Paris, I don't think it looks good.
Uncertain.
I think, you know, they were a scene band and they sold their soul because they wanted to be written up in Pitchfork and they wanted to play Coachella and they wanted to make hipster, dark, you know, like goth rock pop music. And the album wasn't good. And, you know, we've actually had some other listeners writing about some pretty unpleasant experiences at Paris shows recently. Mm-hmm. And I just think the band blew it. They blew it so hard. And I don't think the future looks good.
I'll never forget writing at Alternative Press about how I literally all I did was quit right after they put out the deluxe edition of White Noise. I was like, they are working on their sophomore album, and this will determine whether or not they will bump up to the next level or suffer a sophomore slump. And their publicist was so pissed at that I had to change it. I had to take it out of the blurb.
They were being so carefully managed and crafted at that point. You know, every photo had to be black and white, right? Like
the aesthetic, right.
The team was just, and what their team was just, you know, trying to craft stars out of them, they didn't realize that what they had was good music. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
The image. Nobody really gave a fuck about the image. I mean, Lynn Gunn was cool, but she was no Hayley Williams. Like, as far as an image goes, like a cool image, that wasn't what people weren't into Paris for the image. They were into it because White Noise was a jam.
White Noise was fire.
Unexpected fire too. Right?
Absolutely.
Like,
oh,
everyone
absolutely
thought, oh, this is gonna be some bullshit Rise release we don't care about, and we got it. And I was at AP at the time, and that blasted through the halls of AP,
right?
Because
it was
we were all like, holy shit, what is this? Yeah, we were all like, hell yeah, you know, Smoke,
Fire,
my house, Fire,
St. Patrick,
it was just
the whole record.
We had it on repeat. And yeah, so do I think they'll ever have White Noise hype again? No.
Just
not if they keep, you know, making songs like Heaven. And if they want to be, you know, more of a rock band like that,
What I love is that if you go back and listen to the episodes where we roll out the album, we were rooting for this band so hard
so
through the
hard.
shit, through the
I'm sure we
bullshit
did.
of these songs.
And even before that, like we did like our lists or whatever. I'm sure they were on like our most anticipated. Like we were like, this is gonna be it, man. The Paris. Can you? I mean, you put out White Noise, you're Paris. That's the best like setup ever, right? Like you're set. You just gotta
You
like,
just have to deliver. That's
yeah,
all
just
you have to
deliver
do.
it again. You know, evolve your sound a little bit, but keep those electronics.
Keep
You
the
know,
core.
keep the hooks, keep the dramatic nature of your music. And you're good, but you know they want to go play Lollapalooza, and they want to have hipster fans. Who hipster fans suck. They don't buy anything like scene fans. You know, they don't come to your shows. They don't show out in the same way. It's they chose to look cool
They're
over
so,
being a successful band. And I think it's not like totally over, but we're in the process of them becoming.
Dude, the future does not look very kind to
Big
Paris.
disappointment. I mean,
I
they
mean,
come
like,
back with White Noise Part 2. You know, and not White Noise Part 2, literally, but they come back with something of that caliber. You know, they were going to be a 20,000K plus first week band, and the next thing you know, they're on radio, and boom, they take
for
off.
sure, for
That
sure,
was going
because
to
they
happen.
still,
And
exactly.
instead, what'd they do? 10,000 copies first week
I think it was,
because
yeah.
they totally changed everything and alienated their fan base.
Yeah, no hooks.
No hook.
Like, congrats, you're gonna get a good review from Ian
Congrats. Yeah.
Cohen, you know?
Yeah, I know, right? Congrats. You're
Yeah,
gonna,
nice
you know,
job. And your band is
you'll
gonna
get on
get
the
forgotten
Forkfest
about. It's just so crazy how bad it was because you and I, the deluxe edition of White Noise, is their biggest song. Like
Yeah.
Even a re-release was further catapulting that band. They played
Oh, yeah.
a late night performance, and the traffic just lit up on AP from
They
that
could do no
post.
wrong at that
It,
point.
at that point, dude, it just felt like this band was primed to just be fucking massive. And
And
all it
there's.
takes is one bad album, as we've seen with countless scene bands. One bad album, you're done.
And your stupid management, your stupid team
Right?
that make this decision. Okay, the scene has supported us so far. You know, the scene fans have lifted us up, but we don't want to be associated with that anymore. We want to be cool. So we're going to abandon. It's just,
So we're gonna go to the most
it's,
fair weather
you know.
area of all of music.
I mean, honestly, no bitterness. I don't even think about this band anymore.
I
Like, they've
haven't thought
just
about Paris
fallen
in
off
months,
since this
man.
question. I mean, they've just fallen off so hard and fallen off my radar. Yeah, so that pretty much answers that question for you, Jay. Tyler, I think we got to move on and
We
get
gotta
into some
go, man.
music.
We gotta
All right.
go.
The story so far released their lead single, Let It Go. This is from their fourth album, Proper Dose, which is out this September via Pure Noise. Tyler Sharp, you've heard Let It Go. We've been waiting for this one for a while. What are your thoughts?
All right, man. I have stories about this song already. I got pretty emo on the 21 Pilots episode, so I'm not gonna go there on this one, save for keeping my emotional state
I
personal.
remember when I sent
Oh
you a
no.
text about this song on a certain night, and your reply or something was like, "Why are they doing this to me right now?"
I think it was all caps. I didn't ask for this. All right, so listen, I understand why the reaction to this song by 21, sorry, by
Different
Story So Far fans is not exactly outright support as it was
band.
with Out of It, because it's not a new wave pop punk song, right? It doesn't follow the super edgy delivery that Parker is known to give. It's 90s alternative. It's nostalgic lyrically. It's got such a breezy vibe to it. I love the way they layered the shit out of Parker's vocals and took, I'd say, like 90% of the edge out of it. I love that. There's so much melody in here that I can't get over it. And the way they intertwine that acoustic jam, which 20, God, I can't stop saying 21 Pilots. Story So Far, I've been known for pumping out the acoustic jams ever since
You're just really
Clairvoyant.
excited to talk about that Nico video.
Dude, right? Yeah, that's what it is. But ever since they dropped Clairvoyant, the story so far has been known mm-hmm. for their acoustic moments. So for them to intertwine that into basically a lead single of an album and still make it this, you know, high tempo, upbeat jam, it's just, mm-hmm. it's so smart for them. I'm so disappointed in the reaction to this song. Like, mm-hmm. it has like over 600,000 streams on Spotify. I haven't checked on YouTube in a while, but it was not doing hot when I checked. I'm so disappointed in the reaction, man. I've listened, dude, since this song dropped, I've listened to it over 100 times.
What's your score?
I'm at a 9 out of 10.
Holy shit. Hold on, I gotta stand up.
Oh my god. Dude, I'm in love with this song. All right, it's in my top 3 of the year so far.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I hate to do this to you, man, but, like,
no,
I'm with fans. Like,
no, do not.
It's not a bad song, but I'm super let down, man. Like, I'm really let down. I was expecting fire, and I just, you know, one of the first things I noticed people complaining about were the overproduced vocals, and I get it. Like, I get there's something weird about the vocals on this song, and there's something weird about the structure. It feels sort of clunky to me, the merging of the two worlds, as you say. I think the chorus is good. Like, it's catchy. Like, I catch myself humming along to it. But ultimately, you know, I come to about a 6 out of 10 on this song. It's okay. Like, to me, it's nowhere near as good as Out of It. To me, Out of It was just such a fucking jam.
You can't compare the two songs. You can't compare the two songs. They're completely different.
I mean, you're telling me I can't compare two Story So Far songs, but I'm gonna. And that song, you know, based off, this is all we have to go off of recently, you know, is those two songs. And that one just hits, man. It just hits.
Yeah, it's driving.
It's not the most,
for sure.
It's not the best song ever. It's got a great pre-chorus. And this song is just, it feels a little light to me, man. And I haven't lost faith in the band because I think they are the most important band in pop punk. But, it, you know, and it's not a terrible song. It's a 6 out of 10. It's okay to me. It's, you know, it's decent. I have my issues with it, but it is what it is. I'm in the mode now of waiting for the next single, hoping I like it better.
Oh, man. I'm so disappointed. I feel like I'm the only person who loves this song.
Because when they came out, I was in the Defend Pop Punk group and everything, and, uh-huh. and that was the first thing I saw. People were like, they weren't upset, but they were like, eh, you know? And I really think it's that vocal thing. You
Dude,
mentioned
where they I, it, really, it does.
They
it
really
sounds like
papered his vocals
yeah,
down. And,
yeah. They it sounds like a choir of Parkers, right? And when you just layer the shit out of vocals, it takes the edge off of it. And
something about it is kind of disorienting. Like,
it was
there were just
purposeful,
just parts
though,
of
dude.
This
like,
song.
This feels like a 90s alt-rock song to me. And I love that. Like, this band could survive outside of new wave pop punk. It's okay, people. They don't have to write these edgy anthems for the rest of their lives.
But I didn't think Out of It was necessarily so new wave pop punk. Like, that kind of just felt like the Story So Far. Just, like, that was hard. That was kind of a harder song when you think of it. I mean, I know it's not
especially
heavy,
compared to this one, for sure.
It just, yeah, it just bumps, and he's really raspy, and that's kind of them. That felt to me like they were kind of finding their own identity. This, I mean, this is just parts of it just sound kind of disorienting and dizzying to me at times. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'm with the fans here. I'm disappointing you along with.
I'm just
picturing you reading the comments like, no.
I was reading through and I was like, you cannot be serious right now. This is fire.
That's
this
like me, is... though, with that 1975 song. Like, I thought it was going to change the world. And everyone was like, all right, it's all right. And I'm like, oh, come on, guys.
I mean, okay. as we'll find out later in the episode, maybe, if we get to it, that was surely more fire than what we have now.
No spoilers,
but, you know.
Okay, so anything else you want to say on this? I know you feel a way about it. I know it touched, you know, the thing is, I know the song touched you emotionally.
It definitely did.
It doesn't matter what it is. When you hear mm-hmm. the right song mm-hmm. at the right moment or the wrong song at the wrong moment, it imprints on your brain. It's branded into you like a hot cattle prod brander. You know what I mean? Like, that's important. You know what I mean? Like, you can connect with a song more when that happens.
For sure. So, I guess I'll just leave it at that. But, like, I did genuinely try to separate my emotions from this song as far as, like, thematics go. And I think it's a banger, dude. Like, 100% banger nation.
I want you to go down with this ship. Like, I want this to be your new, like, for the rest of 2018, I want this to be the thing you keep coming back to. Is like
this song.
And I want, like, 2 months from now, and I said it 2 months ago, you know, if you guys had just listened to that Story So Far song, you know, they'd be big. I want this to be your new thing.
This could be on radio. This could be on alt radio, man. Like, this could be a hit for them.
What's going to get scary is when they start releasing maybe more traditional singles next, and I'm like all about it.
And
you're not. Yeah, that's going to be tough, man. But we'll get through it, homie.
We'll get through it.
Okay. Beartooth, the boys.
Hell
Caleb,
yeah.
Caleb and the boys announced their new album, Disease, and the lead single, Infection. They announced Infection. They didn't release Infection. We also got the songs, Bad Listener, as well as the title track, Disease. So Beartooth are back, Tyler. Are you stoked about this?
Dude, Beartooth are back and they're bringing the fucking fire, man. I am so excited about the future of this band.
They, you know, they had a good run with the later cycle of the last record.
And they rebounded hard.
I mean, Hated, that song saved this band,
absolutely,
right? I mean, that song got top five on rock radio. Mm-hmm. And they're back in a big way. So Disease is just, of course, that's the name of their album, right?
Like, right, it has just, to be anything that would insinuate death in some way.
So the announced Infection would be the single, but they didn't release it leaked, right?
I mean, sure, we could say that.
the band leaked it,
right.
So Infection, Tyler Sharp, quickly, let's try to get through all three of these songs. What do you think of Infection? So give me your elevator pitch.
Infection's got these driving riffs, man. It's just a very solid Beartooth song. I think the chorus is better than any chorus we got off of the last record, and it feels very strong right out of the gates for this record. It's cool to see Caleb evolving as a songwriter here, you know, because it's still Beartooth, but it feels like there's a new pep in the step of the band that we didn't get on the last album. Because when I heard that one, I was like, these all just feel like B-sides to Disgusting. So
now he kind of knows what works.
Exactly. So he's basically refining Disgusting on these new songs. This is solid. 8 out of 10 for me.
Wow. Banger Nation?
Mm-hmm.
Infection is Banger Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Where are you at?
Like you said, I like this song because it's Caleb sort of seeing what worked from the last record and what got him success and refining and concentrating it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is a good song. I think it can work at radio.
I think so too. Yep.
It's got a very A Day to Remember chorus.
Absolutely, man.
I was like, that's
absolutely
a good move. That's
right?
Never a bad move. Like, you know, to you know, pay homage to the boys. Mm-hmm. It's a very thumpy song. It's got a good balance of like heavy and choppy, but also like melodic. I come to a 7 out of 10. It's a pretty good Beartooth song.
So we're close.
Yeah, I'm close. All right, Disease. Next song. What do you think of Disease?
Dude, this is in the exact same lane, man. They came out the gate swinging so hard on this record. I love this chorus. I've already listened to it too much. Like, I've kind of played this one out. Mm-hmm. I added it to my 2018 bangers playlist, and it comes right on after the Story So Far song. And I have played the Story So Far song more than this one, and that still feels refreshing to me. And I've outplayed this one, and I've played it less. But it, again, kind of same thing with Infection. It's like he's refining that disgusting process of creating those disgusting songs so well. And he, as far as I know, they weren't in the studio with Feldman. He didn't do this record with Feldman. He did Disgusting with Feldman, and you can definitely hear it on like songs like In Between. That's a total Feldman song. So it's cool to see Caleb evolving so much as a songwriter and being able to refine his process and make Beartooth fans happy, right? But also allow potential for growth on this cycle. That's like that's the process, right? Like that's what every band should aim for on every album, is to make your core fans happy but also allow for potential to growth. So I'm at a little under 8 here. I'm at about a 7.8, 7.9.
okay. I really fucking hated Disease, man.
Shit, how could you like the other one and not like this one?
This song, okay, it's like you have like this like rumbling bass and this hard instrumentation, but like
it's supposed to be abrasive.
Juxtaposed with this soft box, I just don't like it. The verses sound totally lost to me. Like they just don't even know where they're going. This chorus totally stalls out. Like, wow. This chorus is terrible. I do not like this song at all. I am at 4.5 out of 10.
All right. Well, that was an unwarranted attack.
I had 4.5 out of 10, man. I really don't like
Holy
this one.
Holy shit.
I don't want to see more of this. Okay. All right. Quickly, let's hit the last one, Tyler. Bad Listener.
All right. So this is the bottom of the three for me. The Cock Rock Beartooth. I love the idea. I love the idea. The execution, it's fun. You know, it's fun. I don't think I like it as a single. I kind of get, the angle towards it. That's totally fine. I don't like this direction for Beartooth. The song, I haven't been going back and listening to this song. It's not something that I would, personally enjoy listening to as a pleasure song. So I am at a 7 out of 10 on this one. I think it's certainly coherent. It's just not something that I'd revisit. Like I love the idea and I love the on paper, it's like cool. Yeah. Like let's do the Cock Rock Beartooth. let's try and execute this.
This song's really, it's like hard and thrashy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I don't like about the song. It's like boring, thrashy, hardcore light. It's like a light version of something, and it's like a waste of musical effort to me. Like, I don't know why this song exists. Like, this song to me sounds like we heard that Knock Loose record, yo, and like we're trying to somehow fuse that into a way that works for radio, and it just, I don't know, man, I'm not about this song at all. I'm at a 5.5 out of 10.
Dude.
The only question I have written here in my notes, is this a fan pleaser, like from the early days of Beartooth? The early EPs.
Yeah, the
and
sick
stuff.
EP.
Is this like a fan pleaser? Like we're trying to.
This feels new to me. Like this doesn't feel like anything Caleb would have written before now.
Yeah, it was just a hard. I don't know.
It's fun, man. Like they can't have fun.
No, they're not allowed to have fun. Not on my watch. I don't know. It's just, this is not what the band doing at this point. That's why I was wondering, if this is a token fan pleaser, like, I'm okay with it. Like, if this is like but like you said, this doesn't sound like an old Beartooth thing to you. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like I said, waste of musical effort. I'm not about that.
Wow, you came out for Beartooth, man. This record is going to put them on the next level. Like, whatever that next level is, it's going to put them there.
I hope, and I think a lot of it so far is all riding on how Infection does at radio.
I mean, that doesn't seem like the single they're going to push.
What are they going to push?
Disease.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the first song that they released, like, officially.
Have you checked the charts? This is important.
We should know this.
We should know this, and shame on us for
not. I know. Oh, shit. Okay, it is.
Oh, you already got it?
Number 37, Disease.
Okay. All right. My prediction, this one doesn't make it.
Dude, it's already climbing. It was at 44 at this point last week.
44 to 37. That's very impressive, Tyler.
Oh, shut up. Good God.
All right.
They're just getting legs. You got to let it give us some time, man. It's going to be a slow burner.
My prediction is this song does not crack the top 10.
I'll go against that.
You're going against it?
I'll go against that. Fever 333 can crack the top 10. I think this Beartooth song can crack the top 10.
All right. That's our bet. And if I'm wrong, I will, publicly apologize on the show. Which brings me to a little bet that Tyler and I made a while ago about Selena Gomez's new song.
Oh my god.
What is the song called, Tyler Sharp?
I don't even know what it's called. I haven't listened to it since that stupid fucking talk we had.
It's called Back to You, and it's a total banger. And
Except it's not.
Tyler and I had a pretty heated discussion about it, and we ended up making the bet. And the bet was the same Beartooth bet. Tyler said no way would it get in the top 10. And I said, okay, if it gets in the top 10, you need to publicly apologize on the show. And last time I checked, it was at number 9.
All right, I am sorry. I was wrong about this song, and I continue to be wrong because I still don't think it's good.
You are sorry to the listeners for misleading them
I
with that information.
apologize for my inaccurate prediction of the performance of Selena Gomez's Back to You. It is currently sitting at number 9 on top 40.
Get radio play. It's starting to build up Spotify streams. It's got a good bank of
It will
streams.
not be number one.
He wants to push. I'm with you at number one. I mean, I don't think she hasn't had a number one in a while. I mean,
This
the
is
biggest
not
song
the
she's had in
song.
a while was that Kygo one. That didn't even get to number
All
one.
I'm saying is we still got Post Malone Psycho at number 8 and Better Now, number 2. We are coming for number
Hey,
1.
we called that. We
Oh,
called Better.
absolutely,
We were
man.
like,
That's song of the
pop it.
summer right there.
I don't know what the delay was with there, but okay. So yeah, Beartooth, I'm a little disappointed, but
Didn't we
I'm,
have
you know.
another bet that I
Was
won?
it?
There was another
Yes.
bet where I was to put where the loser
Oh.
had to listen to an album,
It
and
was
we never decided that.
the Timberlake album.
Oh, right.
We bet The bet was if Timberlake was gonna break 300,000 copies
I
first week,
said no, you
and I
said
said, oh,
yes.
it was an over/under bet, and I went over, and Tyler went under. Yeah, and the loser of the bet has to listen to an album of the winner's choice. And Tyler, text me that album. I will listen to it today.
All right, I'll just tell you now, it's the last Chon record.
Anything else, man? You sure?
Nope.
How about that Vane record? I hear that's pretty good.
Hit up that Chon record, man.
Oh,
Hit up
of
that
course.
Chon
All right.
record, front to
Newest
back.
Chon record?
It's the newest one. I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head.
All right, well,
Came
I'm out
out
of my
last
work, and I think you understand what that means for me to listen to a Chon record, so I hope you appreciate it, and
I need you to
I will.
report back next episode.
Next episode, I am reporting back. All right,
Hell yeah.
let's move on. With Confidence released Jaded, the second single from their upcoming LP, Love and Loathing, due out August 10th on Hopeless. Tyler Sharp, what do you think of Jaded?
I mean, this song is not terrible. It's certainly a coherent pop punk song. It's a song that you would expect a band at With Confidence's level to release in hopes that they would continue growing. Given this band's past, I see no future for them. I can't believe they're still on Hopeless. I can't believe the vocalist is still in the band. They were just
They were
called out
on
by
Warped
the
Tour.
Amity Affliction vocalist on Twitter. It's a miracle that they've survived. I see no prospective future for them. Congrats on having Spotify numbers. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But I know for whatever reason you feel a way about this band.
It's
So
not that I
let
feel
me
like
know what
such
you
a
think.
way. I just like the
I
song.
think you do, man.
I think it's a good song. You know, like I think they
It's
make good pop punk.
passable. It's passable.
I'm disappointed by so many pop punk bands, and you know, whether it be like Real Friends or Knuckle Puck or whatever. And I just think these guys get it. Like, I think like they make the pop punk like I kind of like hope Neck Deep was gonna keep making. Like the stuff they make is catchy, and especially like the last two B sides that came out, and then. The first single was okay, and then this one especially, like they just make really fun breezy pop punk, and that's all I want from them, and I like it. And they're ha like despite all the shit that went down, like they're having success. Like I like you know they have like a 500,000 Spotify monthly listeners. That's more than Knuckle Puck. You know what I mean? Beartooth have like 600,000. Like that. You know what I mean? Like they're getting up there. And
People are streaming them. People are listening.
my thing is of all of the new wave, which new wave, I guess, because the new wave was Real Friends of Knuckle Puck. The new wave
Mm-hmm.
The new wave pop punk bands like Grayscale, Lake Pacific, Seaway, Rome, Water Parks, all those bands. I feel like this is the band that has the best shot of making it to the next level, you know, and
dude,
selling 10,000.
What is the next level anymore? They have no home. Warped Tour's over. None of this shit is going to exist anymore.
That's something I haven't thought about. But I think like this is a song that like State Champs should have released. Like this is what State Champs should be doing.
I mean, I can
catchy pop.
I would agree with that.
And State Champs did 16,000 copies first week. So my thinking, my logic is, this band makes better music. They should eventually get bigger than State Champs. But
I mean, in a healthy community, there's no community left.
I like little moments on this song too. Like there's a few moments on the song where he sounds kind of like a young, like, poppy Vic Fuentes. Like, there's, like, a little bit of, like, a Pierce the Veil vibe going on in some of the verses. I'm at a 7.2 out of 10.
I mean, I'm at, like, a 6.8, 6.9, 6.7, somewhere around there.
Close.
I mean, it's whatever. It's a passable pop-punk song, but I just don't see any future in this band. Like, there's nothing substantial here enough to be like, holy shit, this is gonna like save the scene, you know.
I'm not holy shit save the scene. I'm just like, wow, you know, these guys give me some fun summer pop. Come on, man. I'm just like, they give me some fun. Like, I was so bummed by that Neck Deep record, man. Like,
I mean,
I did,
same,
like,
but we,
I
you could agree.
My life's
okay,
not out to get you part two,
right?
Which
no,
I
one
want
did.
That
right.
Every summer. I want a life's not out to get you.
You
and
can
these days have
you,
these guys have given me the closest to that.
You
just
can
breezy,
agree.
Fun.
You can agree that the Rome and Seaway records are better than any single that they've released so far, right?
With on?
Yeah.
No.
I think
they're doing
off.
It better.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I think that,
no.
And I know, but I don't know the full story, but I know the band had allegations against them, but it seemed like they handled it well. Like, they pretty quickly...
I mean, they kicked the one guy out, but the other guy's still
guys,
in there.
Right?
No.
And they were only a three-piece.
No, they were only a four-piece to start with. They kicked the one guy out, and the other dude was the vocalist who they left in.
I thought they kicked out two members.
They kicked out one. They've always been a four-piece.
And Hopeless, you know, seems...
Oh, yeah, they seem to be fine with it.
I mean, I'm sure they did a very thorough investigation of everything. And, you know, Hopeless, they seem... okay with it. And
I'm just
Kevin
saying,
put it on Warped Tour.
I'm not commenting on the situation at all. Why does this band get a pass?
You know, it's like, I don't know. Like, are they getting a pass? I thought they my memory could be wrong because this is so long ago and so many allegations
ago.
You need to do
the dive again, man.
I recall this band is very quickly kicking members out. And I thought they handled their business, and that was kind of
it. It was, you know, I woke up to it one morning. There was the allegations. They kicked the guy
this came
out
right
within
after
a few
brand
hours.
New, right?
Yes,
this
absolutely.
Right,
it was
the
same week.
Yep. Maybe that's why. Maybe the brand new thing worked out for them and just overshadowed it. But, like, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know.
So they kicked out the one guy, and then, like, a couple days later, more come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it keeps going.
Yeah, I must have missed that.
And then they were down to a two-piece. So it looked... But they weren't breaking up. They were taking some quote-unquote time away. So they literally took off two months, 3 months, whatever. And then they played a show as a three-piece. I don't know what they are now. I'm sure they're billed as a three-piece, but assuming they have another guitarist on tour. I don't understand. None of this makes sense in the current context of the scene, you know? Why do they get a pass?
All right. Well, I'm going to refer all questions to Hopeless Records and their publicist, which you can find at Hopeless Records.
Don't
website.
At Matt. He's washing his hands.
I don't feel like getting involved in this. Look, it's breezy pop punk that I casually enjoy. Okay, so from first to last, once again, reunited with original vocalist Sonny Moore, a.k.a. Skrillex, and released a new song, Surrender. This follows Make War, the surprise single with More that came out in January of 2017. That was the launch of our show.
That was it?
We launched O2C.
Dude.
And that happened. And now here we are. And it's crazy, man, that like this has happened again. We've gotten another from First Last Song with Sonny.
Something we never thought would happen.
You know, if we're going to get one a year, I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? If we get one a year for the rest of my life, I'm cool with that. But
yep.
What do you think of Surrender, Tyler?
Dude, I haven't been this happy about new music since the last Sunny comeback song came out. Mm-hmm. Like, hearing this band release new music with Sunny Moore and it be top tier caliber of what they're doing just is, it makes me so happy. It takes me back to when I was first discovering this shit. Like, the first time I heard Reinventing Your Exit by Underoath, the first time I fucking heard Dear Diary, you know, like, this feels so exciting, and it just, it gives me so much joy to see this band exist now despite everything that is happening around them, and to be just kicking out fucking bangers, dude. Like, this song rips. I've listened to this song just as much as I've listened to the New Story So Far song. Like, unfortunately, it only has 235,000 streams on it. That probably 100,000 are from me. The artwork, the everything.
The artwork is fantastic,
dude. Everything, I mean, about it. That chorus. How could you not?
The pastel colors of the artwork with the lipstick. That's just great. I mean, that's the kind of artwork that just jumps out at you on
exactly.
social media.
And even the gif of it, like, even better, oh, man, of it closing and going up and down. That's perfect. So perfect.
Followed by Make War artwork, which was really good already. I think this is even better.
Even, you know, better. And I feel like this fits the vibe of the song, you know?
Yes, like, it fits the vibe of the band. It fits the vibe of Sunny. It all fits
the
vibe.
It's so well. And the only thing I didn't like was Sonny's announcement tweet for it, where he said, "I don't want to make a big deal about this," and I'm just like, "Come on, let's make it a deal, man." Let's make this shit massive. So you can't listen to this song even if you weren't a fan of mid-2000s post-hardcore. You can't listen to this song and not sing along to the chorus. It's that good. That hook is fucking massive.
What's your score?
I'm at a 9 out of 10, man. This is gonna be in the top list of my songs of the year. What's good?
Is it better than Make War?
Oh man. See, I've gone back and forth a lot with this question. And it's hard because I played Make War out so hard, man. Like, I've listened to that song so many times, it's ridiculous. I feel like Make War is a much more conventional throwback post-hardcore song. Surrender feels a little bit different. It's almost like, my buddy texted me and he nailed this comparison. It's like 2004 post-hard, but 1975.
Interesting.
I was like, holy shit, that doesn't make sense at all.
Tyler,
but it's so,
which one's better?
Man, right now I gotta go with Surrender.
There you go. Okay, so
I'm so about it. Where are you at, man? I need to hear your thoughts.
Like you, man, I am totally about this.
Hell yeah.
I mean, this was like exactly what I needed musically,
right?
It's so good. And to talk about Make War, I really love Make War. Mm-hmm. Right, that was a good song. That was a great song, but Surrender is a much better song. Because when I think about it, like, Make War was kind of like, it was kind of like, okay, here's like a 2017 version of Note to Self, which was great.
Right.
We loved it.
Exactly.
But Surrender is more of like a proposition of like what a From First to Last the band could be like in 2018. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like a real way, like a 1975 way you say they could function in 2018 as a band. And that is so exciting. And I just love this song, man. And another reason I think it's better than Make War is Sunny, vocally here. You listen to Make War, and it's understandable because it's his first time kind of doing this and getting back into it, and he's had so many vocal cord problems. But he sounds pretty flat at parts of that on that song. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like he has a cold when he comes in on that first verse.
Right.
Here on Surrender, he's going for it. Like, you can tell he's comfortable. He's more loose. He's going for it vocally. On the verses, on the chorus, he's really like, and that's not to bash Make War, because like that chorus to Make War, he goes for it, it's good. But here, you can tell he's a little more warm and comfortable vocally, and he's just going for it at every part of the song, and it sounds so great. Like this sounds like, okay, so this sounds better than they did in 2006 when they put out Heroin.
Oh,
I think
100%.
Sunny sounds better. Because at that point in 2006, he was having vocal problems already. Mm-hmm. And his voice wasn't what it was in 2004. this, the vocally, how he sounds here, he sounds better than 06, and he sounds on par with 04 Dear Diary here.
It
like
feels
vocally,
so
he's killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great song. I love everything about it. I think Travis, you know, and full disclosure, like, I became friends with Travis from the band. So, you know, take this with a grain of salt, if you will. But I think he's killing it on this song, dude.
It's so
Travis
good.
With those screams, man.
Dude.
Like,
dude.
My God.
The first time I heard it, I was like, oh my God, it's 2004 again.
It was funny because Travis, first off, Travis's screams and Sonny's clean vocals are one of my favorite contrasts like we've ever gotten on a scene.
The dynamics between the two are just
Travis
unparalleled.
Travis has got like that, it's a very mid to upper throat dry kind
just
of scream.
Just fries, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
But not like Austin Carla.
Right,
it's like,
it's more than that.
It's just very dry. And that contrasted with Sonny's just dramatically vulnerable over-the-top vocals is so great. But Travis, man, he's fucking going for it on the song. And I love it. I love, like, just like that little bridge that connects the pre-chorus to the chorus where it's just his scream. It's just like
yep.
a little accent piece that other bands wouldn't do or would forget. But this band is so good. They put that there and it just works so well, man. I just love it. I love his screams on this song. I love this song. I'm blown away, man. I'm at an 8.5 out of 10.
Dude, it's so good. And the post-chorus, the vibe of that post-chorus moment towards the end where you got that hi-hat rhythm and Sonny's just singing Surrender, Surrender, Surrender over again. Oh, my God, dude.
The
like, what a vibe.
Dude? When he's like, I'm surfing perma prescription. I mean, is the pre-chorus the best part of the song? Like, I'm like, you know.
Dude, you and your pre-choruses, like, man.
That's
a good
pre-chorus, though.
It's fantastic, but that chorus comes in
the
so hard.
The chorus is great, yeah.
Comes in
and
so
and it's got a lot
hard.
To live up to because that pre-chorus is so good. But, like, and even just to get back to Travis for a sec, I think back to Make War. My favorite part of Make War was that,
the bridge,
Travis's screen breakdown.
Yep.
Yeah, the
yep.
you know, from your
from
how's
the
it go?
Car from the door from, to your car
something from your something to your core. All I see is
love
gore.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That screen breakdown. I just Travis is such a good part of this song. I love the screams. They don't need to use the screams, but they do. They accent the song so well with them.
Like, I don't know where this song could ride, but it's so good enough to ride.
Yeah.
that's the biggest thing we can take away from it. And, like, right after that Story So Far song, man, we get a verse from a Sonny Moore comeback song right out of the gates. And he just says, let's just pretend that falling apart wasn't really the end. It was just performance art. Like, just tattoo that shit on my face, man.
She said surrender harder, motherfucker.
Dude,
the hell is this song about?
Get out of here. Is this another one about Ellie Goulding?
I don't know, man. Is this crew gonna get the Ellie Goulding like breakup record?
Right.
All right, that is it for the show this week, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to send them into notescene@gmail.com and we will discuss them just like we did on this show. If you enjoy the podcast, please take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Give us those 5 stars, and we will love you so much. Until then, we will see you next week.